This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Eric here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let's go into day two after the Grammys dust up between Offset and Quavo over the Takeoff tribute that Quavo sang at the Grammys. We learned yesterday that there was a fight backstage. Now we've got some audio of, in real time, Cardi B, Offset's wife, Offset's wife, trying to break up the fight between these two relatives. Take a listen.
Both of y'all wrong. Both of y'all. This is not right.
So yeah, you can hear her. She's worked up and she's basically telling them, both of you all are wrong. Stop fighting. This is a tactic used by people just trying to break up a fight, not taking one side or the other, saying, listen, let's just break this up. We'll settle this in another way.
It's sort of because we don't know exactly what has been the beef between Quavo and Offset.
We don't know. But it's been going on for a long time.
A long, long time. Yes. That's why Migos split up. And clearly in that split, Takeoff was with Quavo.
That's right.
Because, you know, they did an album together.
Unc and Few
for Uncle and Nephew. And so there's definitely been some beef there. And that's, you know, what we were hearing was that the Quavo was going to do this tribute. And then he thought Offset was just trying to get in on it in the last minute. And he's like, no. And so it's interesting to see Cardi, who, you know, you would think would just be ride or die for Offset, is like, both of y'all are wrong.
Yeah.
And whatever the fight is, you know, and clearly it seems like she still has some affection for Quavo and obviously for Takeoff.
Sure, these guys are
family. Sort of caught in the middle of that. But yeah, so whatever their beefs are, she tried to squash that. It's so cool about Cardi B. I mean, so Entertainment Tonight was filming this. Mm-hmm. They got it. And you hear all this happening.
Yes.
And then their reporter, like right after, it's like, I heard you settling something back there. And she goes, oh, the only thing I was settling was my dress.
She is the best ever. She is just down. She's not out there to air dirty laundry.
No.
She's this mix of like transparency because she lets the world in, but only on her terms. You know, she says, look, I'll show you all the, like, she goes, you know, food shopping sometimes and rails about inflation. So she is this radically transparent figure, but also like, listen, that's family business. And I'm going to brush that question
and
off to the side. I like that.
Well, obviously she's clearly very involved in it personally. It's not just her business though.
Yeah.
If it was her beef with somebody else, maybe she would want to talk about
it.
But this is between...
Or litigated in court, as she's done before with strippers who she's beat up.
Yeah, but this is between Offset and Quavo.
Yeah,
and so she's involved in that, but that's not her business to go talk about.
It's true. She lives by like a very strict code, and I'm not going to air the dirty laundry of other people, particularly my husband and Quavo. So that's not going to happen, and she doesn't do it, and she brushes it off in her typical Cardi style. Here, I want to take a step back. To me, this was extremely sad. You know, Takeoff was murdered or shot and killed during a dust-up over talk about a basketball game.
He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
In the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, very, very young. There aren't many analogs for this. So the Migos were kind of a group. They were a little bit like the Beatles at the time. They were very, very big. And the Beatles lost a member to John Lennon getting shot in 1980. Do you remember the clip of Paul McCartney's reaction to John Lennon's death immediately? He said, people really zeroed in on it because he said something to the effect of, that's a drag, isn't it? Cheers. And said bye to the reporters.
Yeah, kind of played it off.
Yeah, and sounded a bit cavalier about, you know, John Lennon being assassinated and got into his car. He later reflected on that and said, I was just stunned. I mean, this was one of my closest people in my life.
You're not going to open up, like, right, that was the day it had happened, or within a day.
Yes,
within
hours.
You're not going to open up to a random camera about your friend being murdered. This is different because it is family, though.
It's family,
You know, they had broken up and had their issues. They are still family, and...
But you can't table all of the issues with family, even in death. You hope that would be the case, that they would say, okay, let's hug it out. This puts everything in perspective. We can really sort of take a step back and look at how silly our sort of falling out was. But that's not always easy to do.
No, and because in the immediate aftermath of Takeoff's death, it sort of seemed like they had come together. You know, they were there at the funeral together. It's like, okay, this whatever was between them is over now.
Yes.
But then sometimes it can be even worse after the death, like in this, where whatever that issue was never really got resolved, clearly.
Yeah.
And so when Quavo thinks, I'm doing this tribute to my nephew, and then this person that you had this beef with is allegedly trying to get in on it. That's what the argument started from, is that, that Offset wanted to be part of the in memoriam.
Yeah.
Quavo was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, where were you in the months leading up to his death?
Right. This is my song, my tribute to him. I'm not going to allow you to come in here and, I don't want to say steal my thunder, but this is not your tribute. This is my tribute to my fallen nephew.
And if he thinks, like, you know, we don't know if the issues were between, you know, between Offset and Takeoff, or Quavo and Takeoff, or all of them, or Quavo and Offset, or all three of them, who knows?
Yeah.
But if you think, like, oh, we had our issues, and now you think you're going to come in and publicly be this mourning, sad person when you weren't there but when he was alive? No.
Yeah, you know, I see both sides. It is a little bit of the mirror image of the Beatles situation, where immediately afterwards, Paul was cavalier, but then sort of very somber. Here, immediately they were all on the same page when Takeoff was killed. Everyone sort of rallied around, and you didn't hear any of this rancor. And now the rancor's creeping back in. It's sort of the mirror image of that. Look, grief is a complicated emotion. I don't know how else to put it. I've dealt with it in my own life, and it comes in waves, or some people experience it all up front and then have closure. And you know, these are two very, very successful people, Offset and Quavo, and they're managing very complicated emotions, and they're doing it at the Grammys. So
the Grammys, you know, they're with Entertainment Tonight cameras right around the corner.
Yeah, you know, at first I was like, "Oh, he seems petty," but it's also just difficult to deal with in the quiet of your home. They're doing it on a stage with cameras all around, and Cardi all dressed up and trying to break up a fight. So emotions run very high.
Not just at the Grammys, but for Quavo, going to do a very emotional performance, like, there was so much pressure on that performance for him, I'm sure, personally.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't just me performing at the Grammys, which is its own pressure.
Right.
But for my nephew.
That's right.
Who's not, with his image behind me, and I'm singing this song that I wrote for him. And then right before that, all these old wounds are getting opened up.
Right.
And
Offset, for his part, tweeted and tried to sort of play it off. He was saying, you guys think that's a fight? You're crazy.
Yeah, no, nothing happened.
So where do you see this going? You know, do you think there's now sort of public pressure for reconciliation? Do you think they'll be responsive to that? Do you see a Quavo and Offset detente? Like, where does this go? Because there's a lot of attention now, and everyone is expecting a next move. Is Offset going to apologize? Are they going to do Oprah interviews? I mean, what happens in this kind of scenario when there's this tension built up?
I mean, you hope so, but it could also very easily, they just drift apart.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at worst, there starts becoming like diss tracks between them or something, and I hope that doesn't happen.
Oh, but that would be a horrendous sort of outcome.
But it doesn't seem like that's what they're going for. By trying to keep this as private as they can, it's their business. It's their family business, and we may never know exactly what happens with it.
Yeah, my take is, I think even though they're somewhat young, you know, Offset's now like a father. He's
they're young, but they are adults.
Exactly. They've lived a lot of life in, a constrained number of years. So I do think some maturity will creep in. I think people like Cardi are extremely helpful in mediating this. Even just hearing her response to watching what is said to be a sort of a physical fight, she did the right thing in the moment. She didn't she didn't jump in on Offset's side and start wailing on Quavo. Maybe a younger Cardi would have been more volatile in that way, but everyone seems to have matured a bit. So I'm actually quite hopeful that even though this was a dust up at the Grammys, a lot of emotions running high, I think there will be some sort of
peace that comes, and it may be decades from now. I mean,
maybe
we may see like a sort of, I mean, there obviously sadly now can never be a real Migos reunion,
right?
Because Takeoff is gone. But, you know, bands that hated each other eventually got back together at some point. Guns N' Roses did, the Eagles did, like, they could patch it up maybe someday.
I think Unk and Off, that's the next combo or whatever, collaboration.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, let's move on to something also quite serious. So that's So Raven star Orlando Brown.
He
was Eddie on the show. He's become sort of this sort of kind of a knucklehead out there in TMZ
word.
World. It's a word because he gets in trouble a lot. He's sort of a volatile personality. And now things have gotten very, very serious. There was an incident that we covered where He got into an altercation, sort of a domestic altercation with a relative who was staying with him.
Not a relative.
Oh, he ended up not. It was
so
a domestic call.
This is so much confusion to this. So we were saying, so he was living with this guy in Ohio, and at the time, so there was an argument between them. Orlando grabbed a knife blade and a hammer and threatened the guy. Never actually attacked him with it.
Right.
But at the time when police came, he said it was his brother. Now we hear that maybe it was not a blood relative, someone he kind of referred to as a brother.
Got it.
So
that's why it came in as a domestic call, because if it's a family member or a spouse, it's a domestic disturbance. So maybe not a blood relative.
This guy, you know, Orlando's had problems for a long time and had, I guess, was dealing with homelessness.
Yeah.
So this person's very close to him and brought him into his home to try and help him. And then this thing all fell apart.
Yeah. So now he is, he's been charged with a menacing, because it's slightly different than assault, because he came after him allegedly with these weapons, but didn't actually sort of batter him or assault
him. And he also set them down. Like this guy didn't have to like wrestle him and take them away.
Right.
He calmed down and put them down. But yeah. And if it's somebody you think has mental issues, you maybe don't know what's going to happen there.
Right. And there's a mugshot of Orlando from this incident where he's making sort of a maniacal smile. I don't know how else to sort of describe it. It doesn't look like someone who's just been arrested and is downtrodden.
Right.
It's a sort of strange picture. And now we've learned that his public defender, because as we said, Orlando Brown has sort of fallen on hard times financially, so he has a public defender, moved the court for a mental evaluation. He said there needs to be a mental evaluation for two reasons here. One, to determine whether right now Orlando Brown is competent to stand trial. To stand trial, you have to be of sound mind to know what the proceedings are. Not all the intricate details that lawyers know, but you have to know that the state is charging you with a crime and you could be held responsible for that. Secondly, they want the evaluation to look into what was Orlando's state of mind at the time, because Orlando has pleaded not guilty, but just a vanilla not guilty charge. What could change if they say we found evidence that he's laboring under some sort of mental disability at that time is you can change it to not guilty by reason of insanity, because crimes typically, unless they're strict there's some crimes where you statutory rape, where it doesn't matter what the state of mind is, just that you were with someone. But most crimes require a state of mind that you intended to do something wrong. You intended to threaten this guy in your house with the weapon. If you're not of sound mind at the time, you can say, I'm not guilty because I'm insane. It's not that I didn't come at him with these weapons.
Right.
It's that I didn't know that was wrong.
And it could be because what initially at the time, the person he was living with, the guy who said it was his brother, said that when Orlando attacked him, Orlando was accusing the roommate of like raping his girlfriend or something.
Yes.
Orlando's girlfriend.
Some wild accusations.
Like, it seems like somebody who was having delusions or a break from reality.
Yeah. I mean, this starts to become sort of, we cover these stories and you think one thing, like, oh, this is a guy who went crazy and grabbed weapons, and it becomes sort of a sadder story, because if he is laboring under these issues, it's not a get out of jail free.
No,
people think of the insanity defense as an excuse that sort of allows you not to take responsibility.
Right.
These are serious mental evaluations. He will go through a rigorous process with real psychiatrists. Yes. Can someone fake it? Maybe. But it's not as easy as you see in movies where a guy can just sort of act insane. They know that there are ways of behaving in a way to look like you're insane without actually being insane. So if it's determined that he's suffering a mental disability, I think we should believe it. I think
definitely. And there's a long history here. This wasn't an isolated incident. You know, he's had drug issues in the past. His family and friends have had interventions for him. There's been... I mean, he got arrested in his underwear, or not arrested, but caught by a bounty hunter a few years ago. There's a very troubled history here, and it seems like mental issues make the most sense. So this is sort of maybe possibly like a best outcome situation here, where this is someone who's needed help for a long time.
Right.
And you see people try to give it to him. It seems like the roommate was trying to give him a place to stay to get him off the streets and was trying to help him get a movie role. People are trying to help him, but he needs real professional help.
I think that's right. Look, if there's been a serious break from reality in his head, a couple things can happen. If it's determined that he wasn't insane at the time of the offense, but he's now laboring under something, what they can do is they can medicate him to sort of give him drugs to help him understand the course of the proceedings against him. That's one path. The other is, if he's still a danger because he grabs weapons in these delusional states and he's determined that he is suffering from something, they'll put him in a facility, but it won't be a prison. And so he'll be able to get the help he needs while still being sort of kept away from society at large, where he poses a danger or threat to himself or others.
Right.
So there are paths here. It's not like he's going to go home and, you know, sort of be able to commit crimes. I think people often think insanity. They've seen movies like Primal Fear. You ever seen that movie with Ed Norton? Where the entirety of the movie, spoiler alert, it's a very old movie, so watch it if you haven't seen it. But he basically fakes being insane the entire movie. And then at the end, he sort of smiles at his lawyer and says, "We did it," as if he could pull that off.
That's why it's a movie.
It's a fiction. No, you know.
But it's like this, it sounds like even in the case of this attack, that he was having some sort of break from reality.
Yeah.
And there seems like there's a pattern of that. So this is hopefully somebody who needs help getting the help they need.
Yeah, I see this going. Maybe some of the old stars of his reality show. Look, he's probably burned a lot of bridges at this point, but maybe you could see if the story takes this turn where he is seriously laboring under these conditions, maybe people rallying around him. We saw this with the kid from the Mighty Ducks. You remember he had a very serious drug problem, and people from his past in acting said, "We remember the old guy we worked with," and they sort of rallied around him. Judd Apatow actually intervened in his life and sort of really helped him get on his feet. Maybe the same thing happened for Orlando. We'll have to wait and see. But that'll do it for us today. We'll see you next time.